Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to your phone calls and more here in just a few minutes here on this Wednesday Montana Talks. Definitely give us a call today because we've got a busy couple of shows coming up tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow morning, I'll be broadcasting live from the Montana State Capitol, third floor fan window, if you want to come down and join us. Then I have the honor of speaking at the 9/11 memorial ceremony taking place inside the Capitol Rotunda right after we wrap up the show. Then Friday morning, I'll be broadcasting live from Grizz Stadium at the Canyon Club at the University of Montana for our special program that is taking place alongside the University of Montana Military Alumni Reunion taking place, starting tomorrow. So great couple of days. The show's coming for you. Open phones today, 406-294-0970. Let's start with a good news story here this morning. If you haven't seen the photos of this great new memorial that was just dedicated in Three Forks yesterday, you've got to go to MontanaTalks.com and check out the photos of this memorial. It's a memorial 5 years in the making. After the tragic loss of two tow truck operators near Columbus, Montana, the first responder and tow truck community jumped into action to honor the fallen. I got a chance yesterday morning before the dedication took place to catch up with Lori Tribble with the Montana Tow Truck Association to talk about this new memorial that just yesterday afternoon was officially dedicated in Three Forks. Here you go. This is Lori Tribble with the Montana Tow Truck Association.
It's a big deal for the Montana Tow Truck Association. After 5 years of planning and building, our tow truck memorial will be unveiled today. And, of course, we're excited. Governor Greg Gianforte will be here to dedicate our memorial. It's a gorgeous memorial. We've had, you know, walls built by Scott Kelder Masonry. We have a beautiful eagle that was sculptured by artist Mary Michael. Of course, the names of our tow truck operators that have lost their lives in the line of duty. And, we're just really excited that we have gotten to this point.
And it really is an incredible-looking memorial. If you go check out the photos on our Montana Talks website, and not only do they honor the fallen tow truck operators like Casey Allen and Nick Visser, who lost their lives in Columbus 5 years ago, but they also are helping to educate the public about the importance of this new move-over law in the state as well. All right, quick break. We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. I'll talk about the governor's letter on the APR and more. Stand by.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I want to read part of this letter here as we open up the phone lines for you, 406-294-0970. Not sure if you guys got a chance to see this one, but this is a big topic we've been covering here for quite some time on this very radio program. I sent out a post on X 16 hours ago. Thanks, Governor, for standing with ag and against this corrupt deal the Biden BLM gave to this radical enviro group kicking ranchers off the land. Yeah, Governor Greg Gianforte sent this out just before 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Under President Biden, the federal government ignored the law and approved grazing permits that threaten Montana's agricultural industry. Proud to stand with our federal delegation in defense of our farmers and ranchers. So this letter was signed by the governor, by both Senators Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy and both Congressman Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing. You guys remember this whole corrupt deal. You know, Joe Biden, John Tester, the open borders invasion, but what else did they do? They were giving special perks to their buddies in these radical environmental groups, like the American Prairie Reserve, like the APR, which is funded by foreign financiers like Hans-Jörg Wies. And you remember, what did John Tester do? John Tester handpicked the director of the Bureau of Land Management, and he got Joe Biden to install that eco-terrorist, Tracy Stone Manning, who was connected to that eco-terrorism case in Missoula back in the 1990s, to be the head of the BLM. And what was one of the first things that the Biden BLM did? They gave special perks to their buddies at the APR to help them kick ranchers off the land. Well, now the whole delegation and the governor have sent a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum regarding APR grazing permits in eastern Montana. We write today as senior leaders representing the state of Montana to share with you an issue of great importance to us and our citizens. Since 2017, American Prairie Reserve has been in the process of seeking the Bureau of Land Management's approval to change livestock grazing permits into permits to graze their non-production, rewilded conservation bison herd. Under the Biden administration, the BLM issued a decision to grant the requested permits on a number of BLM grazing allotments in eastern Montana. The state of Montana, grazing districts, and livestock industry groups all appealed BLM's decision as it violated federal laws like the Taylor Grazing Act and National Environmental Policy Act. Those appeals have been working through the administrative hearings process at the U.S. Department of Interior since 2022. While the permits themselves are legally fraught, we thought it would be helpful to share more broadly why this issue is of such significant importance to Montanans. For us, a decision in favor of APR will reshape the entire landscape of our state. Montana's most profitable economic industry for decades has been agriculture. Agriculture drives our economy, sustains our small rural towns, and is the cultural epicenter of our state. Throughout Montana, families, farms, and ranch the same land that their ancestors homesteaded on behalf of this nation. Facing drought, wildfire, sub-zero winters, disease, down markets, and generational transition, these families sacrifice, committing themselves not for financial gain, but for something bigger, their families, their communities, the health of the land, and the nourishment of this country. As Montanans, we are tremendously grateful for the sacrifices and investments our farmers and ranchers make every day, and our collective leadership is committed to defending and securing the long-term viability of their livelihoods. And then just a couple more paragraphs here from this letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum from the governor and the entire congressional delegation. APR is dedicated to rewilded free-roaming bison and converting Montana's historic farms and ranches into the largest wildlife refuge in the continental United States. The effect of this change would remove immense swaths of land from production agriculture with far-reaching implications and undermine the proud heritage of these small agriculture-focused communities. It also threatens the economic vitality of our most important industry, decreasing agricultural production revenue and directly impacting industries downstream that shape our overall economy. Once the damage is done and these generational farms and ranches are gone, they cannot be brought back. We are incredibly grateful for the leadership you have brought to the U.S. Department of the Interior. Thanks to you and President Donald J. Trump, we are seeing meaningful changes in Montana. We hope our unified perspective is helpful as you closely assess this matter further. So great job. It's great to see the governor and our entire congressional delegation work to right this wrong that was done directly at the hands of Joe Biden and former Democrat Senator John Tester, directly targeting our farm and ranch communities here in Montana. Very important that they spoke out on this. Very good to see. All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Speaking of our congressional delegation, what did Senator Tim Sheehy have to say about passenger rail service along the southern route, the old school southern route in Montana? We can get to that and more, but first, your calls right after this.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Caden, send us a caller. Send us a caller. Patch a caller through here. Sounds like we got a lot of great callers on the phone lines waiting to be heard all across Montana. So I don't know if we lost Bill in Whitehall, but was hoping to get to Bill in Whitehall. But, yeah, just patch anybody through to us, Caden, here, and we'll start getting to their phone calls. Lots of big stories to cover here this morning. I did get permission to share this audio with you here. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines was on with Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins has a show and a podcast called Washington Watch. And if you've been watching Washington, you can tell that the Democrats right now, Senate Democrats, Chuck Schumer and crew, are in the middle of the worst obstruction I think our country has ever seen in the United States Senate when it comes to trying to block a president's nominees. And so the patience with Senate Republicans is finally basically gone. So they are getting ready under Majority Leader John Thune to press for a rules change so they can get President Trump's nominees in place. We'll get to that story here in just a little bit. All right, I think we've got is that Bill? Is that Bill in Whitehall that you just patched through to us? Bill, thanks for the call and sorry for the wait there. We meant to get to you sooner.
It's all good, Aaron. It's great to talk to you today. I love to listen to your show, and I'm on the road. I just flew through Bo Angeles, and sure appreciate your views.
Well, we appreciate hearing yours as well. I understand, you know, you wanted to talk about this topic. We dove into this a lot last week, which is, okay, the legislature delivered residential property tax relief for most residential property taxpayers, but here we go. Democrat County Commissioners in Missoula raising property taxes another 8%. They're going to figure out a way to take every dime you might get back in property tax relief and then just raise your taxes at the local level, right? Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you know, the whole subject of levies and taxation is interesting, and I come from a very red county, very conservative, and I just want to encourage residents to get involved in their local government. From a rural standpoint, it is really interesting some of the things that communities face, like Whitehall. You know, our budget is for the town. I serve on town council, and it's a very meager budget, and we're looking at a levy increase for law enforcement contract, and we had a major water project that was the first in the state for uranium. And that impacted taxpayers quite a lot. But the best thing that came out of COVID was some ARPA money, which really helped fund about 80% of that $12 million cost. Because can you imagine if we had to pass that cost on to the taxpayers, what that would have done for water rates? It would have been atrocious.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at some communities across the state have clear needs, right? And so they need to go back to the taxpayers and with a request to say, hey, here's what we need. Will you meet this need? And if they make their case, the taxpayers will say, okay, yep, we get it. You got it. Here you go. And then in other cases, the taxpayers just get railroaded like they're seeing in Missoula right now, like they've continued to see in Missoula. And that's why I was pleased to see Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr put out this press release yesterday where he believes that the state and the state legislature really needs to start taking a look at putting some limitations in place when it comes to the ability of some of these local governments to just willy-nilly raise the mills and raise property taxes rates. I also know there was an effort in the legislature to raise the bar, that if you're going to raise taxes, well, you shouldn't just get a simple majority. There should be a higher bar. If you're going to come take money out of somebody's pocket, it shouldn't just be simple majority mob rules. There should be a higher threshold here before you reach into somebody's back pocket and take more of their money and price them out of their home. Bill, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. I think we've got Perry in Columbus coming through on the phone lines here. And the number for you, 406-294-0970. Perry, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I want to talk about the relationship between our children's education and the amount of money that gets thrown at it. And, you know, Mississippi versus Illinois is one. And I want to zero in on two callers you had last hour. Actually, I want to zero in on one, the guy who said that there are two Helena elementary schools, one that spent a whole lot more money per pupil and had less achievement coming out the other end. And the other one had less money with better results. Now, if that doesn't tell you that it's not really about money, I don't know what it is. But
yeah, that was Tom Burnett. Let me just tell folks, before you get to another point here, former state legislator Tom Burnett out of Bozeman made that point. He says you are not seeing a correlation between more money and better educational outcomes. And yeah, to Mississippi is outperforming Minnesota on educational outcomes right now, and key statistics. I can't remember if it was the reading metrics or something like that. Despite the vast amount of money that Minnesota puts into their public schools, they're getting their butts kicked by Mississippi. I mean, remember when they used to tell jokes about Mississippi and reading comprehension, whatever it was back in the day? Well, now they're trolling Minnesota with billboards in their state mocking them for getting their butts kicked by Mississippi.
Yeah, you know, if our kids don't get a good education, our future is going to be bleak no matter who we put in elected office here in Montana. And the simple fact of the matter is that there's just they aren't teaching. The educational establishment is not teaching kids to think anymore. They're teaching them to type. They're letting them play with their cell phones. They hand them a laptop and let them. If you don't engage your brain to think about things like essays or long math or division, your brain becomes lazy. And what it boils down to is this is being not only allowed, but I believe it. You could even say in some circumstances that it's being promoted. And it's going to be devastating for us in the future. And I know you like AI, but I'm going to tell you this. AI is going to be a seriously bad culprit for the young mind. You've got to teach these kids how to think, not how to type and bring up everything on a screen, or they're going to come out into life the rock.
No, I'm very leery of AI. Yeah, I think we need it. It's like any tool. A tool can be used for good or a tool can be used for bad. But I'm very leery with what would happen with some of these AI, so-called artificial intelligence platforms. And, you know, because just in some of the little bit of playing around with the AI that I've done, you can just see where it spits out a lot of bad information. Perry, great to hear from you. Yeah, I know more and more public schools are, though, cracking down on cell phone use in schools. And, you know, the governor has been, you know, advocating for, you know, statewide cell phone bans, et cetera, things like that. And I know a lot of public schools already did just that very thing for the reasons you mentioned. Perry, thanks for the call. Let's see. Who should we go to next here? Caden, I see we got so many callers coming in. We'll just take your guidance. Ken in the Billings Heights. All right, send us Ken in the Billings Heights, and then I'll check the messages here on our Montana Talks app as well. Ken, what's on your mind? Thanks for listening to KBUL.
Well, thanks, Aaron. You know, I think the American people are really getting, annoyed really bad, and they're thinking there's got to be a better way. You know, Trump is sending in them National Guard to all these cities and everything else. I think it's about time that we send in the regular Army, the Green Berets, the other guys, and even arrest these governors and mayors and things of that nature due to the fact that they're just preaching a bunch of communism in their state and everything else, and the poor regular people are suffering.
Well, look at this mayor. Look at these lawless leftist judges in Charlotte, North Carolina. We talked about Chicago, but look at Charlotte, North Carolina, and this horrific attack on this young woman, this Ukrainian refugee. A new video just came out yesterday. At least that's the first time I had seen the new, just horrific video. Let me see here. For those of you who haven't seen it, you don't want to watch it. It is very hard to watch. I think Jesse Waters gave a summary last night on his program on Jesse Waters Prime Time. Let me just roll that for you here as he describes the new details that we're hearing about this horrific attack by a career criminal on that Ukrainian refugee.
For far too long, For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run...
Okay, I'm pressing too many buttons here. Apologize. Okay, this will run in full now.
For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. A beautiful young girl that never had problems in life. With a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead.
New surveillance video and extreme caution. You were warning. Shows Irina just seconds after getting slashed in the neck. She looks confused. She looks vulnerable. Heartbroken. Irina didn't die immediately. She suffered and then collapsed to the floor, unconscious in a pool of her own blood.
And now a whole host of the left-wing media mob is lecturing you and saying that if you dare share that video, if you share her story, if you talk about this, they're calling you a racist, of course.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, the White House released the Make America Healthy Again Commission's second report, a strategy aimed at tackling America's childhood health crisis. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins.
Chronic disease is a challenge in our country. Most American children's diets are dominated by highly processed foods filled with added sugars, unpronounceable ingredients, and additives. We know the American food system is the safest in the world, but now we must do what it takes to make it the healthiest in the world.
The plan highlights the need for more whole, unprocessed foods like fresh beef, fruits, and vegetables. New scientific research on the link between diet and disease, and innovation in agriculture to keep food healthy, safe, and affordable.
Crafting the dietary guidelines, which will be out very, very soon. And within those guidelines, we will be completely resetting and reworking what we suggest to Americans that has a massive, massive impact on how USDA distributes our programs. Federal nutrition advice must be sound, simple, and clear. These guidelines will prioritize whole, healthy, and nutritious foods, such as whole fat dairy, fruits, vegetables, and meats, and suggest limiting highly processed foods and those high in sugar.
I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. that. It's only a couple of minutes long. Never before in the history of the United States Senate have we seen this kind of obstruction. That's what Senator Steve Daines had to say on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and the Republican senators now poised to change the rules so they can get President Trump's nominees in place. And I've talked about this before to where, you know, some people might say, oh, well, if they change the rules, then if the Democrats take control of the Senate, they'll be able to capitalize off of the rules change too. And here's my response to that. The Democrats don't need a change of the rules to get their nominees across the finish line, because you can always count on a handful of Republicans to cave. And frankly, the Republicans have historically never fought as hard as the Democrats do for their president's nominees. So the Democrats have been able to run the table. So it's good to see Republicans getting a backbone, because this is such an historic, opportune time to get this country on the right track, and frankly, to fight to keep this country as the free republic that she is for another 250 years. Anyway, I'll play that audio here in a second. First, let's sneak on a couple of callers. We've got John in Kalispell going back to this local government spending and taxation discussion. John, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, the Columbia Falls School District is going to have an $85 million mill levy on the November ballot to remodel the high school, completely remodel it, not build a new one. And yesterday, I was reading in the Wyoming State Daily, where in Riverton, Wyoming, they're halfway done building a state-of-the-art hospital, 71,000 square feet plus a new parking lot for only $67 million, which is less, $20 million less than the high school remodel. Well, how can a state-of-the-art, huge hospital, 71,000 square feet, cost $67 million, but they're wanting to spend $85 million to remodel the high school in Columbia Falls, which is way, way smaller? It makes no sense.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I wonder if anybody listening in on the show right now, a contractor or school budget type official, could weigh in. And because you would think that Wyoming, you know, because obviously the Flathead Valley is just getting, you know, a huge growth, lots of construction going on, right? So you might say, hey, that's why it's so much more expensive to build things in the Flathead. But Wyoming's had growth too, because, you know, just like people have fleed the cow states of California, Oregon, and Washington for places like Montana, well, they've done that for Wyoming too. But interesting question. Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. That was a John in the Flathead. Let's go next here to, I think we've got Lee in Kalispell, and then we'll get to Joe in Helena. Lee in Kalispell wanting to, I think, talk about this local government spending conversation as well. Caden will patch him through to us here in just a second, but I think Caden is answering a phone call right now. So, all right. In the meantime, we'll get back to this local government spending conversation here in just a second. But in the meantime, here you go. This is Senator Steve Daines on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins talking about the need to change the U.S. Senate rules so that they can get President Trump's nominees in place.
All right, let's go back to Senate rules. I know this is kind of in the weeds, but it's quite significant when you have so many of the nominees from the Trump administration just kind of hanging out there in limbo. Give us the latest on this.
Tony, the Senate began its institution in 1789. That's 236 years ago. Never before in the history of the U.S. Senate have we seen this kind of obstruction, and it's coming from Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. If you go back in the more recent history in the last 20, 30 years, typically more than 90% of nominees that come to the Senate are approved by a voice vote or unanimous consent. That's how you speed up some of these very slow and arguably archaic processes in the Senate. And then under Trump 45, used to be 90% or more, it dropped to about 65%. The Democrats were trying to obstruct Trump. Well, when we took control of the Senate under Joe Biden's presidency, and then when they had control of the Senate, they didn't have 60 votes, we would then slow down the process for the Democrats. But it was like maybe 60% of the votes were by unanimous consent. So still a reasonable number. Tony, it's been 0% now since President Trump took office. Unprecedented. We are going to move forward with changing a precedent, which basically is a rule change that allows us to do this in bloc. In other words, in groups of 20, 30, 40, 50, upwards of 100 if you wanted to, at one time, that will speed the process up. And Tony, assuming we prevail in this change of course in the next 10 days, I think we'll have all of President Trump's nominees cleared. The backlog of about 150 should be cleared by the end of the month.
All right. And we all know the reason why Senate Democrats are obstructing President Trump's nominees and getting his team in place. It's no different than the mayor of Chicago and fat cat rich governors like J.B. Pritzker of Illinois standing in the way of President Trump in Chicago. They want to block his efforts to secure this country when it comes to border security and the deportations of the criminal illegal aliens and more. They want to block President Trump's efforts to unleash American energy and so much more. So I'm glad to see Senate Republicans, finally standing up on this very issue right now so that President Trump can get his team in place. Look at the Democrats had no problem getting their team in place. How else do you think an eco-terrorist got to be in charge of the BLM? Let's see. I think we got Lee in Kalispell now with us. Lee, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I have two things. The first thing is big kudos to the climate commissioners for holding the taxes down and even giving some of the property tax back. That's pretty conservative. That's great. That's why we vote them in. Second thing is that they're advertising for a new jail and justice center, and they want us to vote on it on the 4th of November, I think it is. Anyway, my problem with this is we definitely need a new jail. My problem is that I don't think we need a new jail and justice center. There's nothing wrong with where the judges sit and do all their things. They can build a jail out in another part of the city or part of the county, and they can video or Zoom, what you call, most of their proceedings without having the judges and stuff sitting right there. And my thing is build it big enough that we'll take care of the Flathead County problem. Leave the county jail that we have there now to take care of the juveniles, and make it so when you do build this jail, let's build it where it can be expanded on without having to buy more land or buy, go up or anything else. We just buy it, just add to it. And every 20 years, it's probably going to have to be added to it. And so just plan on it for...
It's like any other infrastructure, right? Yeah, jails and prisons, right. Much like water and sewer and electric infrastructure and school infrastructure. When you get a population increase, which the Flathead certainly has, you have to plan for that type of infrastructure. And, jail space is not something you want to get behind the curve on, that's for sure. I mean, just talk to the folks in Billings and Yellowstone County, when frankly, every county in the state needing practically to expand their jail because – look, we've already got enough liberal judges like this Judge Amy Eddy, a far-left Supreme Court candidate, putting the criminals back out on the streets a little too easily, a little too quickly. But don't give them the easy excuse of, well, there's no space in the jail, because they will look for any excuse they can to put the criminals back out on the streets. And this ain't even Charlotte. This is still happening in Montana, unfortunately. All right, let's see. Next up, I think we got, is it Joe Dooling in Helena next up coming through on the phone lines here? In fact, I think I saw last night, some of these elections don't take place till November. Some of these municipal elections don't take place till November. But but they just had a school levy vote in Helena, and the results came in last night. In fact, I was watching. I saw Joe Dooling. What was it? 8, 9 o'clock last night, and it was within 100 or so votes, just a few hundred votes, and the levy was losing. But then I saw the updated numbers this morning, and the levy passed by only a few hundred votes. Anyway, we'll get to, I see we got to take our next break here already, so we'll get to Joe Dooling in Helena coming up right after this. The other question that I have is enrollment numbers. What are the enrollment numbers looking like? Increase, decrease? What's Helena seeing?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was the update I saw earlier this morning. This was from Jonathan Ambarian. He is basically the Capitol reporter for the Montana Television Network, KTVH News on X. The Helena Public Schools $240 million high school bond and $43 million elementary bond saw a tight vote on Tuesday, with the bonds narrowly passing by a couple of hundred votes, according to unofficial results. Joe Dooling in Helena now on the phone lines. Yeah, Joe, I think I saw on Facebook last night, when you had shared the numbers at like 9 p.m., the levies were losing by a few hundred votes. But late in the night, the numbers turned the other direction.
Well, you know, Aaron, you're not allowed to question way votes happen in this country. So, but I'm just a little suspicious of the last 2,000 votes that came in, suddenly changing the percentages of the 18,000 that came in before. But, you know, what's more alarming to me is, you know, that, remember that fussy bussy guy that ran against Gianforte, whatever his name is?
The far left gun control guy.
Yeah, he's got a sign still up south of Helena along the interstate. It's Gianforte raised your property taxes. The whole Democrat montage is that the Republicans are raising your property taxes, and the liberals in Helena just voted for a $250 million, largest bond request in the state's history by far, just voted on it. And now they're going to go back to saying that we need affordable housing and living wages. I'm in shock. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit in shock today that thing passed. That $100 or $100,000 property value is what you're going to pay a year.
Well,
so
yeah,
average
and
house in Helena is $400,000. You're looking at $400-$500 more a year.
And what is enrollment looking like in Helena, Joe? Because again, this is another case in point here, if you ask me. So Helena, according to some real estate agents I've spoken to in the last few months, they said that Helena was the hottest housing market in the state. A lot of growth, right? So a lot of growth. But yet what we've also seen in Montana is, even if you see a population increase, that's not translating into an enrollment increase in your schools. I wonder what enrollment is looking like in the very same Helena schools that are now just saw these two massive levies pass.
Well, you remember East Helena pulled out of the district, right? So there's 600 kids that got pulled out of Helena High. So it, you know, you're, or maybe it's 500, but
that was a decade ago or so, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So the numbers over the last decade are obviously trending down, but the school enrollment is dropping. There's no doubt about it. It's not the same AA district it was in the 2000s, early 2000s. It's a little bit different. So I'm still a little bit shocked at how, and you know, for those folks that are not Helena, but if you're a Northwest Energy customer, your taxes just went up because the two largest assets in the Helena High School District are Hauser and Holter Dam, and those are automatic pass-throughs. So, yeah, you're going to be paying for it, too, so thank you.
So that high...
But we, yeah. we,
It's another reminder, though. Yeah, as you said, it's another reminder that when you hear all this political rhetoric out there about who or what is raising your taxes, look, fundamentally, what raises our taxes is this flawed property tax system that bases our property taxes based off of the value of our property, the value of our homes. That's absurd. We, the people, need to overturn that. But yeah, but then as Joe just pointed out here, and Joe, thanks for the call. I'm getting short on time and got to sneak in at least one or two more callers here before we run out of time. But it, yeah, to your point, again, who is actually, when push comes to shove, deliberately voting or deliberately supporting a campaign to raise your property taxes? Clear example, Missoula Democrats raising property taxes another 8%. Republican Flathead County Commissioners lowering property taxes. Hey, speaking of Flathead County Commissioners, Pam Holmquist now on the phone lines. Pam, great to hear from you. We got about a minute and a half to go. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Aaron. You know, I just want to get a phone number out there because I've been hearing some questions on the jail and our bond for that. And so please, folks, give me a call at 406-758-5508 if you have any questions. And I'd just love for Lee to call me because there was some misconception there that I want to clear up with him. So I just want to get my phone number out there. I know you're on a time constraint here. So,
yeah, throw that number out again if you can.
406-758-5508.
Great. Well, I know, you know, when we had the previous caller talking about a jail, I appreciated a remark not only about the need for a jail and an expansion, but also building for the future as well. That was one of the hang-ups they had in Yellowstone County, where they expanded the jail and it was seats taken on day one. It was already full the moment they expanded it. And so like our callers have said before, you don't want to get behind on that types of problem here. And so that's why Flathead County, I know you're looking to get ahead of it. Pam Holmquist, thank you so much for the call. Sorry we ran out of time. Tomorrow, hey, if you're listening to KCAP in Helena and you want to come join us, I will be live from the third floor fan window location of the Montana State Capitol, and then have the honor of speaking at the 9/11 Memorial Ceremony inside the Rotunda at 10:30 a.m. after the show. And then Friday, we'll be at Grizz Stadium for the Military Alumni Reunion on the UM campus.
I'm Matt.